You might expect that I would be political this morning, but I will not. Believe it or not, I do that when I believe the Lord says to. And the old saying is, it's not over till, well, till God says so. Amen. In a totally different direction this morning. I want you to turn, if you will, just go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. The title of today's message is a question. Why am I in this battle? Why am I in this battle? I want to talk to you really about the spoils. The spoils of battle, or the spoils of warfare. I know that many times you find yourself in a battle, and we're all in one battle. It's a great battle. But we find ourselves in places where, as a believer, and I'm speaking to, I believe, to most everyone in here this morning, I'm talking to those who are trying to walk with the Lord. You walk with the Lord, and you find yourself, sometimes it seems like the closer you draw to the Lord, the more near you draw to the Lord, the more fierce the attacks come from the enemy. It might be good to take stock this morning and think for a moment, because, you know, unless you're a threat to the enemy, he doesn't bother you too much. And you might remember a time in your life when you were fiercely under attack. Most likely it was a time when you were pressing in, you were praying in the Spirit, you were submitting to the Lord, and you had a fire burning inside of you, and you were desiring to do His will and to be obedient. You may find yourself in a time right now this morning, or there will be plenty of others listening to the sound of my voice and listening. You may find yourself this morning in a place where you're not in such a fierce attack right now. You may remember much worse attacks in the past. And you may be in a place where you feel kind of safe, and as though there's nothing really challenging where you are. And you might consider this morning, though this isn't always the case, you might consider this morning, am I in a place right now where I've compromised and I've just settled down, and maybe I'm not provoking the enemy? Maybe there are no attacks because I'm not a threat to the enemy right now. The Lord is faithful to His children. Amen. Amen? The Lord is faithful to His children. So why are we in the battles that we're in? When Satan does unleash, it seems, all hell against us, why are we in those battles? Why do we seem to find ourselves sometimes in a battle that, though God sustains us daily, it seems like it's too much to bear? It's, how am I going to make it through this one, Lord? Sometimes maybe the thought has crossed your mind, why can't we just come to the Lord, accept Jesus, and just wait and not have all of this, and just enjoy life till we go home to be with Him in heaven? But you'll find that the battles are lifelong. That there is one after another in this life if you're serving the Lord. But in spite of all of that, I want to encourage you this morning, because the Lord shows us something in His Word that I want you to see, something that you can take home with you today. And I want you to listen real closely, class, because there may be a test at the end. So, and I'm serious. You find yourself in battles in many different arenas. Sometimes the arena is at home. You find yourself in battles in the home. You find yourself in battles in the workplace. Sometimes you find yourself in a battle in relationships that are especially trying and difficult. Sometimes it's the marriage. Sometimes you find yourself in a battle that is intense, it's fierce, and it seems that the enemy truly wants to destroy everything that you have made covenant for and come together in, and the enemy has declared war against that marriage. Sometimes it's financial. Many times we find ourselves in terrible financial situations, and many of us could say it was my own fault. You know, many times it's just poor management. But there are times when you just know, it's like, this is not normal. This is not normal life. It's like one disaster after another, and the enemy has just absolutely come against my finances, and I find myself in a horrible situation. Many people live their Christian life without even knowing the reality of the enemy. To them, the enemy is something that's relegated to past superstition. You know, it's like, well, you know, that's evil in the world. I don't really believe in a devil. The Bible teaches clearly that there are principalities and powers. Yes. There are forces arrayed against us. Yes. And we battle with them constantly. And our warfare cannot be accomplished with natural methods. We can't strategically outwit the enemy of our soul. We cannot fight him with the same weapons we would fight in this world. And so we are left to find what are the spiritual weapons with which we are to fight the enemy. And the Bible gives us plenty of ammunition and plenty of things to understand that reality. But you need to understand the reality that Satan is real. What is he after? We'll see that in just a moment. But you know that he wants to derail your walk with God, yes, if nothing else. And so ultimately, even though you may find that you're in battles in many different arenas, there is ultimately one arena. That is the mind. The mind. We call it the 6-inch war right up here. That's where the battles take place. Because no matter whether it's a battle, I did not mention sickness, that's another one. No matter whether it's a battle in your body, whether it's a battle in your marriage, whether it's a battle in the workplace or finances, whatever it may be, it is to cause you to become bound up in your mind in some way. In other words, to give in to fear or to give in to anger and hatred, to give in to many things that cause your mind to be in turmoil, that you're in a war all the time up there in this place, you know. You're constantly reliving these things in your mind and you're going over them. I don't know if you're like I am. Sometimes you can have a war and nobody else is ever involved, you know. And sometimes I don't even know that it's the devil, except that, you know, he loves to feed on fear. And so we have these fears and we have these imaginary scenarios that happen in our mind. In other words, we know that something's coming up. Maybe it might be a little unpleasant. And before it ever happens, we've dreaded it. We have lived it over and over in our mind. And we have imagined every possible thing that could go wrong. And it's just these horrible scenarios. No matter what it is, the enemy wants to derail us and he wants us to always be fixated on things that are not of God. Again, this morning is not so much about fighting the battle as it is when you are the victor. What are the spoils of battle? What is it God wants you to take away from the battle? And it will help you to understand the why. Why do we find ourselves in these battles? In 1 Samuel chapter 30, David is in a very difficult situation. And so I'm just going to begin reading. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now Ziklag is David's town. It's his possession. It was given to him. It's where he has his wives living, his family, his children, his relatives are all there. And had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. So here's a horrible circumstance. David's family has been captured. All of his fighting men, their wives and families have been captured. The town has been burned with fire. You know, sometimes we find that we come upon this thing that the enemy has done. It's unexpected. Maybe something in your life has happened and it was unexpected. You don't think that you did anything to invite it or to cause it. It just happened and it seemed to come out of left field and you weren't prepared for it. And it was so devastating that all you could do was just weep or maybe just become angry or whatever your reaction, your personal reaction may be. But it was so bad that it consumed you. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. So now even not only is David facing this terrible circumstance, this warfare that's come against him, now the hearts of the people have been turned against him. You know, many times that is the number one tool of the enemy, is to turn people against you. You know, the Bible says it's not those people that we wrestle against. It's against principalities and powers that motivate them. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. We'll come back to that verse in a moment. In the King James Version, it's David encouraged himself. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. In his grief and his anguish, and I'm certain his anger against the enemy, devastation, loss. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So God gives David the plan to go ahead and to go to battle. Look all the way over at verse 16. And when he had brought him down, speaking of David, there they were, the enemy, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. So the enemy has spoil that they have taken from David's people, David's town, from Judah, as well as from other enemies, the Philistines. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all of the flocks and herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. See, David gets not only the spoil that the enemy had taken from other places, recovers what is his, but also takes the spoil of the enemy that had taken his wives, the Amalekites. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David. These are some who were so tired from a previous battle that they did not go with him, whom they also made to stay at the brook Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who were with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered us into our hand, the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward. He made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. So in other words, those who were able to go with David in battle and those who were faithful soldiers but who were not able to go at that time, they all received of the spoils and the rewards. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah. I wanted you to see this. He sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here's a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Excuse me just a moment. To those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth in the south, those who were in Jatir, those who were in Aroer, those who were in Shifmoth, those who, and he names all of these cities, and to all the places, I'm down at the end, down at verse 31, those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to rove. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. Go to the right. 1 Chronicles, chapter 26, verse 27. We saw in the last passage that some of the spoils David took and he gave it to friends and family and elders in Israel. In other words, he shared. It was not only for him, but it was for others. And now we see, and this is one of the primary uses of the spoils of battle. In verse 27, some of the spoils won in battles they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. And all that Samuel the seer, Saul the son of Kish, Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah had dedicated, every dedicated thing was under the hand of Shelomith and his brethren. So some of the spoils were given to elders and relatives and friends as gifts from David. Other parts of the spoils were given to maintain the temple of God, to maintain the house of God. This is going to be important. We want to look at the spiritual reality. For the New Testament says that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of God. Amen?
Amen.
What does it mean that God is wanting to give you the spoils of battle? You may not have ever considered this before, but you are in constant, most believers who are pressing into the Lord, you're in one battle after another with the enemy of your soul. I want to give you something to think about this morning to encourage you, that you can go home and think about this, and even at the end of the service, we're going to do something with this. I want you to be thinking, what are the spoils? And we'll identify how this comes about and what it may be. You may think, oh, all of the battles I've been in, all the losses that I've incurred in following the Lord. Sometimes we think of how much we've lost in following the Lord and how much we've suffered, how much it's cost us, what I had to sacrifice, what I had to give up, how I was mistreated, how I was persecuted. And all of these things. This morning I want you to begin to change that thought and think, what have I gained? What have I gained? What are the spoils? What did I take away from the battle? Did you realize that God gave you things? If you came through a battle victorious, God has given you something. He's given you things to take away from that battle to help you and to help others in the house of God. So what does it mean that God is wanting to give you the spoils of victory? David, when we look at David and all of the battles that he was in, David was collecting building materials. The temple had not been built yet. And David had the plan, he had the design in his heart. You remember the prophet told him, go and do all that God has put in your heart. But then God tells David, you're not going to build it, but your son is going to build it. But David stockpiled the materials. And so during all of this time that David is going to battle and they are taking loot, they're taking bounty or booty from all of these different battles that they've won, he is collecting it. He's dispersing it, and he's also dedicating some of it to the building and the maintaining of the house of God. You're going to see the maintenance in a few moments. He collected brass and gold and silver from these different battles. He took in timbers for the building of the temple and many other things. Previously, he had set up a divine order in Israel. There were Levites, there were musicians and singers under David's leadership. Those of you who love worship and praise as it should be, think for a moment about the tabernacle under David on Mount Zion as the musicians 24 hours a day under David's kingship. No other time in Israel. 24 hours a day in shifts, the choirs went up the hill singing and playing tambourines and worshiping God and dancing all the way up, and they would spend a certain amount of time at the tabernacle on their shift praising God, and as they're coming back down singing and praising, another choir is on the way up singing and praising God and taking over the next shift. 24 hours a day, constant praise and worship going up before the Lord. David loved the temple, the tabernacle. He loved the temple. He wanted to build a temple for God. David loved worship. He loved the service of the Lord. And so he collected all of these materials, and he took the spoils from warfare, and he set up a treasury to maintain the temple even after it would be built, in order that it would never fall into disrepair. There would never be a leaking roof. There would never be falling timbers. There would never be broken down walls. In the Old Testament, battles consistently represent the spiritual battles that you and I are in the New Testament. New Testament battles are pictures. Old Testament battles are pictures foreshadowing of the battles that we face against the enemy of our soul. God ensured that every battle would result. Listen closely to this. God ensured, we hear constantly about the victories. God ensured that every battle would result in more than a victory. Not just a victory, but spoils of battle that would be taken home. In 1 Samuel 30, where we read the Amalekites invaded Ziklag, David's village, which was given to him. They were on a rampage. As we saw, they took his wives and carried them away, carried his family away. I want you to understand that David was not in sin. David was not in sin. This was not a punishment. You don't have to be in sin for things to go wrong.
That's right.
You don't have to be walking in a lack of faith to be attacked by the enemy.
That's right.
In fact, many times, the more faith you're walking in, and the more righteous and holy is your walk with the Lord, the more the attacks will come. David was described as a man with who was after God's own heart, a man after God's own heart. He had what the Bible calls a perfect heart. That doesn't mean a sinless heart, but one that is set upon the Lord. The people turned on David to stone him. And the Bible says David encouraged himself. Maybe you're in a tough place this morning. Maybe you're facing something that's hard. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? How do you encourage yourself? Somebody can say it. I don't care. Michelle, you're wanting to say it. I don't know.
Just pray and read the Word.
Pray and read the Word. How else do you encourage yourself?
Worship.
Worship, praise. How else did David encourage himself? He rehearsed all of his previous victories.
Yes.
He praised God, but he said, God, I remember when you did this. And he built up his own faith by remembering God's faithfulness.
Yes.
In past times. Sometimes when we're in the middle of a battle, we need to remember that God has never failed us.
Amen.
We need to encourage ourselves.
Amen.
Because of all that he has already done for us. In every battle, David brought back spoils. And those spoils were resources for the temple of God. Why was David the object of such battles and warfare? under the old covenant, why was David the object of such warfare and such battles? Beloved, it is because the enemy was wanting to destroy the righteous bloodline through whom the Messiah would come.
Yes.
Satan was always after interrupting, always after destroying the bloodline so that the Messiah would not come forth. And David was a type and shadow of the Messiah in advance. And it was prophesied that the Messiah would come from the line of David. And we know that Jesus did come from the line of David. And so every spiritual battle that you find yourself in is because of the Spirit of Christ in you. Can I say it this way this morning? It's not because you're so great. It's not because Satan sees you as so awesome in the Lord. And it's not because you're so bad that you're such a pitiful Christian that you're under attack. It's because of the Spirit of Christ within you.
Amen.
And really, the more you walk in that relationship with the Lord and that fire of the Holy Spirit is burning within you, then it is a threat to the enemy's kingdom. And he does see you as something that needs to be reckoned with, and he is after preventing the Spirit of Christ from bringing forth whatever he wants to bring forth in your life. Satan was after the destruction of the bloodline in David and was always trying to destroy what God had begun in David. How many of you know the Bible says God is able to complete that good thing which he has begun
Amen.
In you? David went to battle and he recovered everything. Plus, he took the spoils from them. He recovered his own things, took spoils of battle and their spoils from previous battles, and brought it back with him. David had a purpose. Listen to this. See, we have to change our way of thinking. Sometimes we read Old Testament stories and we think, well, that was a gruesome time and that was a more primitive time. And, you know, that was really a horrible thing that they did. No, David was not selfish. He was not cruel. He was not selfish. He was not thinking of himself. Those spoils that he brought back were not for himself. They were for the temple of God, and they were for the people of God. They were for helping other people. David had a purpose when he took spoils in battle. When God takes you through a battle and he gives you the spoils of battle, true spiritual resources, they are for you to use for someone else. They are to use for the maintaining of the temple of God. In other words, your walk, your temple, this temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible also says that you, the church, the corporate body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he's giving you spoils. He's giving you resources to use. And I'm not just trying to draw some pretty little analogy here and make something here that's not. This is truly in the Word of God, and you'll see it. When David returned to Ziklag, he divided the spoils and he sent it to various places. God was again maintaining the lineage of Jesus through David. David was maintaining God's purpose in his own life. You see, David found himself in this place that was really, really a hard spot. This battle was a time of anguish for David. But God knew that he could trust David. That's a big question this morning for you and I. As you're going into battles, as God is allowing things to come against you, it's never that God wants to destroy you. He allows Satan to do it. Why does he allow Satan to do it? He's not trying to ruin your walk with him. Satan is. God is wanting to do something that has to do with his purpose in your life. But can he trust you? Can he trust you with the spoils of war? That's what he's asking this morning. Can he trust you with the spoils of victory, resources to maintain his eternal purpose through your life. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5, David was truly in a time of tribulation. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. I honestly need to ask the Lord to help me. I don't know that I've gloried. And I can say that because I don't imagine most of you have either. Gloried in tribulations. I have learned to appreciate them in hindsight. Yeah. Hindsight, looking back, I can really appreciate tribulations that God has allowed. And you'll see what I mean in a moment, because I know what the spoils of battle are. But in the midst of it, to glory in it, that's a different thing. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I will tell you this morning, perseverance and endurance, basically the same thing. If you need anything spiritual, any spoil of battle right now, the rest of your life, it is endurance. I'm not trying to be dramatic, I'm just telling you. You are going to need endurance. It's one thing to ride into the spiritual town, gliding on a roller coaster. It's another thing when all the world is against you, and it's like you're pedaling uphill. You are going to need perseverance, endurance. It is not easy to win a race. No one here this morning would say, it's not easy to win a marathon, but it's worth it. Paul says, run the race, that you might win the prize. Amen? Amen? Run the race. Let us run the race that we might win the prize. You won't run the race without endurance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. David sent from the spoils to the elders of Israel. Beloved, the things that the enemy intends for your destruction. I'm going to try to begin to make this clearer now. I've kind of laid out an idea here. But I want you to begin to let it come into focus. The things that the enemy has intended for your destruction, God can turn these into resources. Not just that you survived. Not just that you made it through another day and you're still a Christian. Not just that you prayed this morning and they haven't destroyed you yet. Not just that you can say, thank you God, my marriage has not been destroyed. But that you have something from God that becomes resources in your life. And I would carry that a step further and say something you could write down, something you could journal, something you could put down and say, this is going to help me tomorrow or next day or sometime in the future. This is something, just as David sent the spoils of battle to help the people, you would be able to say, I could use this to help someone when God brings them across my path. David returns with wagons loaded down with spoil and sends it out through the land. See, we know that all of those things in the Old Testament mean something to us. We don't stop and think about the spoils of warfare. You remember the story? We're not going to turn there, but you remember? It's just all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. Do you remember the four lepers outside of the gate? at Samaria, when Samaria was in a time of famine, because the enemy was encamped around about Samaria, and the city walls were shut. No one could go in and no one could come out. And the people inside were literally starving to death, and it had become critical. It was devastating. People were starving, literally starving and crying out, not knowing what they were going to do. And there were four lepers because they were unclean. They were locked outside of the city gate. And these poor, pitiful lepers are outside the gate, and they're thinking, what do we do? What do we do? If we go inside, they'll just cast us back out. But if we go over to the enemy, they may kill us. And finally they say, you know what? We'd be better off just to cast ourselves upon the mercy of the enemy and see what happens. And so they hobble across the hill, and they come to the enemy's camp, and lo and behold, the enemy's gone. It's all silent. It's all deserted. God had caused the sound of battle to come and to frighten the enemy and cause them to run in fear during the night. They left all of their food where they were eating their meals. These poor lepers come in. They're starving to death. The people in the city are shut in, and the lepers come in, and they go into the enemy's camp, and there are all of the spoils of battle just there for them to take. And they're just rummaging through all of the stuff, and they're eating as fast as they can get the food, and then they come to their senses. Like, so what are we doing? What are we doing? Everybody back in the city is starving. And we're trying to heap this all upon ourselves. So they go back and they tell the ones in the city to come because the enemy is gone. The Lord has driven the enemy away. This is the story of the gospel. This is the gospel. That the enemy has been defeated and all of the spoils are there for us to take, provided by the Lord. And the Lord did it all. And those poor beggars go back, those poor lepers, and they tell the others, and they all come and they take the spoils of battle from there. If you, beloved, you are not a victor so that you can just sit back and admire it. You're not a victor so that you can put a trophy on the shelf and say, I overcame Satan yesterday. Maybe there'll be a new battle tomorrow. You're not a victor so that you can write it down in your diary and maybe your grandchildren can read about it one day. You're a victor so that the resources that you gain through walking through battles and coming out victorious on the other side, you are able then to be of service in the kingdom of God. You have something to give other people. You have something for the temple of God. This is why the New Testament says, we are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. We are more than conquerors. We're not just conquerors. We have the victory and we have the spoils of battle. We have the resources. You know, every time you go through a battle, you gain resources that can help you the next time you go through battle. And you begin to do what David did, and you encourage yourself by rehearsing those past victories. Understand that this battle that you are in, he doesn't just want you to come through it and be standing, which is part of it. He says, when you've done all you can to stand, he wants you to look back and see what you got out of it. I want you to be thinking this morning about the battles that you've been through. What did you take from them? What did you get out of that battle? What did you receive from it? What are the spoils of battle that you have received? Beloved, conflicts, listen to it this way. For building the temple and maintaining the temple, those battles were necessary. They could not have been maintained the temple if it were not for those battles. Now that's not a thing to look at as corruption, like, you know, some people say every time we go to war, you know, it's good for the economy. And that's why presidents declare war. You know, that may be true. That's not what I mean by this. We don't go into battles because we're going to get something out of it, but because God has caused us to stand for truth. But when we stand for truth and when we come through victorious, that is what keeps us going. And that is what gives us resources to be able to stand. And we're not going to turn there, but Colossians 2:15 says, having disarmed or spoiled, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Christ, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Think about this parallel for a moment. The Bible says that David went down to where the Amalekites were. He went down into a place of the enemy's camp, and he brought back the spoils, and he came back victorious. Jesus went into the place of death, to the enemy's camp, and he came back. He went down into the grave, but he came back up victorious. And the Bible says he brought the spoils of war with him. He led captivity captive and delivered all of those Old Testament saints' souls into paradise with God. Why didn't God just save us and say no more battles till you go home? Till you go home to be with the Lord. God took Israel into Canaan, their possession, their promised land. And he says, I can't give it to you all at once because you can't handle the fight. You've not grown large enough in number. You're not sufficient for this. So as they grew, they fought battles and they won spoils and they grew in number and they took the enemies and added it to their numbers and they kept growing until they were able to defeat and to do what God called them to do. God has a land, a spiritual land, a promised land for you. Something for you to possess, and he knows that you cannot possess it. That you cannot possess that ground without battles. You'll never receive what God has for you unless you'll fight for it. Unless you're willing to face the battles. He'll only give you the land and the battles that you can handle right now. Whatever you're going through right now, God has allowed it. Whatever battle you're in right now, God has allowed it to make you strong for his eternal purposes. The devil wants more than anything to take the fight out of you. And I can tell you I understand this because I have been in times where I was in such battles spiritually that I just got weary. And beloved, if you don't encourage yourself in the Lord, you'll be defeated. He's not going to allow ruin in your spiritual life if you will cooperate with him. Sometimes when you're following the Lord, there are hellish battles that you endure. But the spoils are worth it all. The spoils are worth it all. God says, trust me. And I know that there's a reason for this message. Whether it's someone in this room or someone listening to me over the internet this morning, someone's in a battle right now. And you need to hear the Lord say to you this morning, trust me. Trust me. Don't run from the battle. Trust me. Be willing to face the enemy. And be willing to stand for me. And put on the whole armor of God. Do everything that the Word tells you to do. But stand. Knowing that when you come through this on the other side, you're going to be more than a conqueror. You're going to be a conqueror, but you're going to be more than a conqueror because you're going to come back with resources that are going to strengthen you for the future and strengthen other people. God is allowing you to come into a place that you couldn't come into any other way. Be encouraged in that. If you're in a battle, God is allowing you to come into a place that you could not come into any other way. It's only through battle. So what are the spoils? What are some of the spoils of battle? I'm going to name one or two, but I want you to be thinking, I want those of you who have walked with the Lord, I want you to be thinking about the spoils that you have gained. What is God showing you this morning? What are the spoils? You don't have to tell us what the battle was or any of the details about it. Just what is the spoil? What is the resource spiritually that you gained having come through that battle. We're going to look at a couple, and then I'm going to close, and we're going to close the live stream and say goodbye today to our friends who are with us online. And then as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give the opportunity for you to just to name the spoils and to consider those in thanksgiving as we partake of the Lord's Supper together. One of the spoils, one of the great spoils that you receive is discernment. The Bible speaks of discernment as a spiritual gift, but it also speaks of something that you gain through use and practice. And so there is discernment that comes from having been through situations that you weren't ready for, but the Lord taught you something in it, and then when you came through it, you won't go through that same battle again without having the discernment to see what you learned in it the first time. Another one is compassion. Sometimes when you come through a hard battle, maybe you've been critical of other people that were in those same that same situation, and you didn't understand, and now you find you're in that situation, and you're really humbled because now you can have compassion for someone else who's walked through that same road. So this morning, we're going to close in prayer, and as I said, we're going to close out the live stream, and then we'll continue.